Picture yourself at 10,500 feet, somewhere northwest of the summit. The air is smooth for once. You've got a solid 15 miles of visibility, maybe more. And there she is. 14,411 feet of dormant volcano glaciers, catching the late afternoon light. The summit stack wearing a lenticular cap like a hat that refuses to blow off. Mount Rainier, and you're circling it. That's the photograph that showed up in AV Web's picture of the day on July 6th, taken in late June, circling the mountain. No gear callout, no traffic, no clearance required. Just a pilot and a camera, and one of the most dramatic pieces of terrain in the continental United States. I'm Tower, this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. And that photograph reminded me that sometimes the best aviation content isn't a crash report or a regulatory bulletin. Sometimes it's a picture that makes you want to go fly. Today's broadcast is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. If you've earned a milestone in aviation, they've got a way to mark it. Challenge coins built to last, built to mean something. First solo instrument rating airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Let's talk about Mount Rainier. And let's talk about mountain flying in the Pacific Northwest, because the two are inseparable. Mount Rainier sits in the Cascade Range in Washington State, about 60 miles southeast of Seattle. It's the highest peak in the state, and on a clear day, it is visible from extraordinary distances. Pilots descending into Seattle-Tacoma International, or SeaTac as most people call it, often get their first visual reference on Rainier from over eastern Oregon. That is not an exaggeration. The mountain is a landmark in the truest aviator sense of the word. If you can see Rainier, you know exactly where you are. The summit elevation is 14,411 feet above sea level for a general aviation aircraft. That number matters immediately. Your service ceiling is the first question, but equally important is the question of what altitude you'd need to orbit comfortably with a margin for mechanical turbulence, the unexpected updraft, the rotor that lives on the lee side when the wind has any velocity at all. Most light single-engine aircraft flying around Rainier are doing it at somewhere between 8,000 and 12,000 feet. High enough to clear the lower ridgelines and glacial shoulders, not high enough to tangle with the upper flanks in most cases. The photograph from late June suggests a western or northwestern approach where the terrain drops off more steeply and you can maintain visual contact with the summit without needing to climb to the same altitude as the peak itself. Here's what you need to know if you're planning this flight. The Cascades are not forgiving mountains. They look beautiful from the ground, and they look beautiful from the cockpit, but they generate some of the most complex weather in the Pacific Northwest, and the Pacific Northwest is already one of the more demanding weather regions in the lower 48. Rainier specifically has its own microclimate. The mountain is large enough and wet enough to create orographic lift that can build cumulonimbus clouds on an otherwise VFR day. The summit area is one of the cloudiest locations in Washington State. In winter, it's almost perpetually obscured. In summer, you get your windows. Late June is one of the better times, but even then you plan your flight around the morning hours before afternoon convective activity starts building over the upper terrain. The lenticular cloud over the summit, the hat-shaped disc that sits right on top, is a constant feature and a useful weather indicator. When you see a well-defined lenticular sitting flat and smooth, you've got strong, stable winds aloft and the atmosphere is in a layered state. That's generally workable. When the lenticular starts to look ragged, or when you see multiple stacked lenticulars, the mountain wave is more intense, and the turbulence on the downstream side can be significant meaning uncomfortable at best, serious at worst. Mountain wave over the Cascades is not a minor phenomenon. Waves generated by the range have been documented reaching into the stratosphere. General aviation pilots orbiting Rainier aren't usually dealing with wave turbulence at those altitudes, but the moderate turbulence that lives in the first few thousand feet above the ridge can still make a scenic flight feel less scenic in a hurry. The practical guidance, and this comes from mountain flying courses, and from the experience of pilots who fly the Pacific Northwest regularly, is to check the winds aloft forecast carefully. Look at the actual weather at higher elevation, ASAW stations in the area, and have an honest conversation with yourself about your aircraft's performance margin before you launch. If you're departing from the Puget Sound lowland airports, you're typically looking at terrain that rises from near sea level to 4,000 feet or higher within about 30 to 40 miles. That's manageable, but density altitude changes as you climb, and on a warm day in late June, what feels like a capable aircraft at sea level may feel sluggish at 10,000 feet. Fuel planning matters more than people sometimes acknowledge. The detour around weather, the extended orbit to get the shot, the extra time spent holding at altitude to let a cloud system pass, these add up. Fly with reserves that account for the contingency, not just the plan. Let's talk airspace for a moment, because the area around Mount Rainier is actually relatively pilot-friendly from an airspace perspective. Mount Rainier National Park is below you if you're orbiting the summit area, but there's no blanket airspace restriction over the national park itself. Overflights are subject to the 2,000-foot above-ground level rule that applies to national parks under National Park Service regulations, but that regulation applies to the terrain, not sea level. At 14,000 feet of summit elevation, 2,000 feet above ground level puts you at 16,000 feet, well above any practical orbit altitude for most light aircraft. However, be aware that there is a temporary flight restriction protocol that can activate in the area for search and rescue operations. And search and rescue is not infrequent on Rainier. The mountain sees climber fatalities and distress calls regularly. If you're flying in the area and you're not monitoring the appropriate frequencies, you could conflict with helicopter operations without knowing it. Seattle-Tacoma's Class B airspace extends over a broad area to the west and north, but the Rainier area itself generally falls outside the primary Class B structure. You're working in Class E airspace for the most part, which means VFR minimums apply and you need to be heads up for instrument flight rules, traffic transiting the area on instrument routes. McCord Field. Now, Joint Base Lewis-McChord sits northwest of Rainier and generates military traffic. The airspace considerations around the Joint Base are worth reviewing on your charts before you go. There are no permanent restricted areas directly over the mountain as of this broadcast, but you should always check ODCEs to air missions or NOTAMs before any flight in that corridor. The volcanic character of Mount Rainier is something pilots sometimes underestimate in terms of what it means for the terrain itself. The mountain is classified as one of the most dangerous volcanoes in the world based on its proximity to population centers. It is not currently erupting, but it is classified as an active volcano with ongoing geothermal activity. The glaciers are extensive, covering roughly 36 square miles of the mountain. In the event of a volcanic event, the lahars, those mud flows of volcanic material and glacial meltwater, would be catastrophic for valleys downstream. Why does this matter to pilots? Mostly it doesn't, on an ordinary flight. But if you're flying in the area and you see something that doesn't look like ordinary weather, the kind of ash plume or rapid cloud development that seems to originate from the summit area, that is not the moment to get closer for the photograph. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, has procedures for volcanic ash avoidance, and the number one recommendation is simply to stay out of it. Volcanic ash is abrasive enough to destroy jet engine turbine blades. For a piston engine, it is no better. Mount Rainier is not the only volcanic summit in the Pacific Northwest that draws pilots. The Cascades are a chain of volcanic peaks running from Northern California through Oregon and Washington and into British Columbia. Mount Hood in Oregon, at 11,249 feet, is another iconic orbit target. Portland International sits to its west and northwest, and flying around Hood means operating with awareness of the Portland Class C airspace and the various transition routes that serve the region. Mount St. Helens, also in Washington State at 8,365 feet, carries a particular legacy that pilots and non-pilots alike know. The eruption on May 18, 1980 is one of the defining events in Pacific Northwest history. The north face of the mountain was blown away in that eruption, and the crater is now a volcanic caldera that pilots have been orbiting for decades since. You can see the lava dome inside the crater from the air on a clear day. It is extraordinary. There's a flight restriction around Mount St. Helens as well, because the crater area is still considered an active volcanic environment. Check your chart before you orbit. Mount Shasta in Northern California, at 14,179 feet, closes out the major volcanic summit picture for pilots flying the Pacific Coast Corridor. Each of these mountains has its own weather pattern, its own airspace consideration, and its own mountain flying challenge. And each of them produces photographs, or videos, or simply memories that remind pilots why they started flying in the first place. The picture from AvWeb on July 6th is a good one. A late June orbit around Rainier with the summer snow still white and deep on the glaciers, the valleys below starting to show green, the summit sharp against whatever sky was above. That photograph was taken from the left seat, or a rear seat, by someone who flew out there with intent. It didn't happen by accident. That kind of intentional scenic flying, the flight plan specifically for the visual experience rather than the destination, is something that general aviation offers in a way that no airliner window can replicate. You set the altitude, you set the orbit radius, you control the timing within your fuel and weather window. The outcome is yours. Mountain flying courses are available throughout the Pacific Northwest and across the Mountain West. If you've never done formal mountain flying training, it is worth pursuing. The Cessna 172 doesn't come with a mountain module in its pilot's operating handbook, but the techniques for density altitude management, for reading terrain, for understanding mountain wave and orographic weather, are learnable, and they make you a genuinely safer pilot in that environment. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has resources on mountain flying. So does the AOPA Air Safety Institute. Sporties and various regional flight schools offer mountain flying ground courses that are a practical complement to actual dual instruction in mountain terrain. None of those replace the dual instruction, but they build the mental framework before you go. The best advice I've ever heard from a Pacific Northwest pilot, and this was a guy who'd been flying Rainier orbits for 30 years, was this: the mountain will be there tomorrow. If the weather is marginal, the turbulence is high, or your fuel state doesn't give you the margin you'd want, go home and fly it another day. The mountain doesn't care. The mountain will always be there. That's true. Rainier has been there in its current volcanic form for somewhere around 500,000 years. It will be there next weekend. Fly it well. Fly it with a plan and with margin. And if you get the photograph, send it to AveWeb. That's apparently how you end up as the picture of the day. Hat tip to AveWeb for the image and to AOPA and the FAA's advisory circular on mountain flying for the operational guidance behind today's discussion. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Stay visual out there.